I'm gonna send right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna write words oh so sweet.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, NAPS Director of Legislative and Political Affairs. Welcome to this week's edition of NAPS Chat, the postal podcast where NAPS members can receive insight into the legislative and regulatory changes that impact active and retired postal employees. For this week's edition, I will be joined once again by NAPS legal counsel, Bruce Moyer.
Good morning, Bob.
How you doing, Bruce?
Good.
Today, Bruce, we're going to be talking about the report released on Tuesday by the President's Task Force on the Postal Service. As you might recall, in April this year, President Trump issued an executive order creating the task force and directing the task force to report back to the President with its recommendations by early August. Apparently, the task force complied with this request. Its conclusions in the freezer till this past Tuesday. Bruce, I think it's fair to say, in and of itself, the task force report, which NAPS members can access on our website, for the most part, is not going to be received warmly by many members in the House, as well as rural state senators and rural state representatives. Do you agree, Bruce?
Well, it's certainly going to receive a mixed reaction on Capitol Hill. The timing of the release of the report itself is interesting. There is no statutory obligation on the part of the president to release the report. In a way, you can think of it as a memo to the president providing advice. So the timing of it, after having kept it in the drawer, so to speak, for about 4 months, probably isn't due in part to the fact that he didn't want to release it, if he were going to release it, before the midterm elections because of the political pushback and repercussions it could generate in an unfriendly way to the president and the outcome of the midterms. And then secondly, it was released on a week that there was a lot of news critical of the president, coming mainly from the Mueller investigation and new developments in that. So the desire to try to shift some of the news cycle to another subject, along with other unrelated actions by the president, probably is due to why this report came out now as it did.
Yeah. Also, the task force, as you said, Bruce, was sort of like a memo to the president. It's not really a legislative proposal. In fact, it includes some administrative recommendations to the Postal Service and the Postal Regulatory Commission, as well as sort of recommendations to the president with regard to legislation. So, you know, would it be fair to say that the first inkling we're going to have as to what would be in a legislative proposal, if there were to be a legislative proposal, would be in the president's fiscal year 2021 budget submission that will come out a little bit before the legislative training seminar?
That's right, Bob. The policies and proposed policies that have budget implications are always embraced in a president's submission of his budget. The budget is really more of a wish list than it is necessarily an outline of what is to come. There are times when budget submissions are declared dead on arrival, and that will probably be the verdict given to at least the president's submission of his budget to the House. Given the fact that Democrats now will control the House and the Budget Committee. However, items that are included in budget proposals sometimes then become legislative proposals that are shopped around and actually introduced in Congress. So some of these elements that we'll talk about in just a moment could find their way into legislation. They could also possibly amend or provide additional provisions that are added to whatever gets introduced as a carryover of H.R. 756 and postal reform last year, of course, with a new number and probably new sponsors. But it could also, some of these recommendations could, particularly on pricing and cost allocation, find their way into, in a compromise way, into a new version of postal reform.
Right. Now, the report, before we sort of give the critical elements of the report that are sort of have a negative impact on the Postal Service and NAP's members, there are some constructive recommendations, particularly to recalculating the health retirement liability, that would limit the calculation to those folks already retired and those who will retire within the first 5 years of retirement. That's going to impact the liability, the calculation of liability, and reduce it significantly. What impact do you think that's going to have on legislative progress?
Well, dear listeners, I know we're getting down into the weeds here, but bear with us. The pre-funding obligation is one of the most serious impediments to the financial success of the Postal Service. Many of the losses of the last 12 years are due to the significant demands that the pre-funding obligation has created. Well, how can you still recognize that obligation, but yet make it easier in terms of the payment schedule for the Postal Service? Well, it's called reamortizing. Reamortizing meaning the frequency and the amount of payments and over what period of time. By loosening the bridle of these pre-funding payments and stretching them out over a longer period provides a lesser annual payment that the Postal Service must make. Ultimately, on the books, they still owe the same amount. But it's just like a mortgage. It reduces that amount. That will be a savings for the Postal Service that it can possibly offset in other ways in increased burdens that it takes on, or adds to the relief of the Postal Service. Possibly if the Medicare integration coverage were to be modified in some way, there could be an offset in savings there.
Yeah, I think it's also important for those who are listening to understand that previous attempts to re-amortize the postal liability for health benefits apply to all employees. That means employees who are just hired today, the Office of Personnel Management, who would calculate the liability, said from day one of employment, there is a liability in the future for the Postal Service to pay that health insurance premium for the duration of their retirement. Under the president's task force, that calculation would only apply to those who have already vested a right to participate in the health benefits program, which are 5 years prior to retirement, because FEHBP requires 5 uninterrupted years of FEHBP coverage prior to retirement to be eligible for FEHBP coverage into retirement.
We're talking about an accounting maneuver here. It's a green eye shade attempt to lessen the burden of financial payments for the Postal Service and yet still provide public accountability.